welcome to the Wicked Wallflowers Club. I'm Jenny Nordback, and this week we have a special What We're Reading with two close friends of the coven, Danielle and Jacqueline, whose blog is On the Same Page. They will be familiar to you if you're in the coven. Jacqueline, the coven being our Facebook group, if anyone is just joining us and has missed that. Jacqueline runs our Saturday Zoom calls usually. You are on your shit, so thanks for doing that, Jacqueline.
My pleasure.
Among many other things. And then Danielle and Jacqueline both participate in our newsletter. Danielle kind of wrangles it all together and does these super cool perfume associations with heroines from books. I love it so much. She takes a heroine from a book that we've all loved recently and tells us what perfume that heroine would have worn based upon her attributes. And I always really love them. So I'm going to pull one up and probably read it later in the episode once I find it.
I kind of snuck it in one month. I was like, hey guys, take a look at the newsletter. Let me know what you think. And then I just put it in there. I was like, I think I can get away with this. No one will notice that I added this. It's great.
It's such a cool take. And once you read them, you're like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Roxanne.
Yeah. From Angelina Lopez's book. So yeah, they've been really cool. I've look forward to the next ones.
They're
so
fun to
no
do.
Pressure. So yeah, we're gonna do a What We're Reading. And Sarah and I usually give some manner of life updates. I know Danielle and Jacqueline's update is that Jacqueline has just moved to join Danielle in New York, which is very exciting.
Yeah, that's just the perfect time of the year, which is August. So humid and fun and delicious here. Can't recommend
it
enough.
It is starting to cool down, which is nice.
Yeah.
And there today we went on a walk because they've shut down some of the streets to traffic. So people can just kind of walk. It was really fun.
Yeah, they're calling them open streets. And people are like, wow, this is revolutionary. And I'm like, they've been doing this a while in Europe. But
they're called plazas.
What is this concept?
I know.
You can just walk on streets?
We tell cars no.
Yeah. There's a space for pedestrians.
It's magical.
That's awesome. I didn't realize they've been doing that, but it makes sense. It's really nice. I don't have anything that revolutionary in terms of updates, except that my husband decided that it would be fun to let my 2 and 4 year old try out archery. So
that's
he
so
gave
cool.
them bows and arrows yesterday. You say
wow.
it's cool because you do not have a 2 and 4 year old who now are running around armed.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous.
The arrows, I thought they would be the arrows with the suction cup on the end, and they're not. Mm-hmm. They are rubber tipped, but it's still a pointy rubber tip, and I don't want them shooting each other or me with it. So we did pretty well for a while, and then Xander shot Zelda yesterday. Much screaming ensued as I took his bow away. So that's a fun intro.
That's devastating.
My world. Archery is what I needed in my life.
One time, the thing about having two kids sort of the same age is if there's, you have to have two of everything. And then if there's one now, mm-hmm. it's sort of a free for all. One time, my mom got us these raccoon stuffed animals and I lost one. And so I took Jacqueline's and I changed the name on the label. And so it said my name.
I don't remember that.
And then I said she lost hers.
Oh my God.
And I got away with it. It was great.
I didn't even remember that. That's wild.
I don't know that I made it clear that Danielle and Jacqueline are sisters.
Oh, yeah.
So that
Danielle is the oldest.
An important piece of this.
Yeah, as the story probably shows.
Yes.
That's so great. I love those sibling stories that just live in infamy and get told regularly at family
gatherings.
Oh,
yeah. I would say.
And you've got one now. The shooting
the worst part was Zelda being the the tough little badass that she was like completely unfazed by it.
No
she
way,
was
like, of course.
Wait, did you just do that? And then like went about her business. But of course I had to, like we had made a rule and I then had to enforce the rule even though she didn't really care. But it was like, yeah, if
he
hit her in the eye or something, it would be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't, I'm like really enjoying parenting right now.
Oh, good.
Like, it got tough for a little while there because I didn't, it was just such a big change from like we would go places all the time and do stuff to like, okay, we're trapped in the house and you can't see your friends and I can't have any help. And I think I've like hit my stride again and I just like can't get enough of them and we're having a really good time. So
that is
nice.
That is what you want when you're all trapped in the house. Well, trapped. Maybe not the right word.
It feels trapped most of the time, not gonna lie. But we made homemade snow cones yesterday and today and they were so excited. It was their first
snow
cones.
I remember I was telling you something and you're like, oh, the kids have snow cones, and I was like, damn it, I want a snow cone.
Yeah.
Why don't I have snow cones in my life? Like that is
they're so refreshing.
Yeah.
It's hot out, snow cone, it's perfect.
And then especially if you get to watch them being made, watching like the dye.
The color.
Dye is the right word.
I will admit I don't have the full-blown syrup that's like neon colored. I was looking at it online and I was just like, nope, can't do it. Like it's so brightly colored and it's just like sugar and I just couldn't make myself do it. Yeah, it's going to stain. It's going to get on the ground and be sticky. Like, I want to be that parent, but I'm not quite that cool. So I've been putting Martinelli's apple juice in their snow cones.
Oh, smart.
And it's
that sounds really good.
I think my childhood has instilled in me, like, sort of an antenna for the blue raspberry food color.
Absolutely, yes.
So if I see that, I'm like, ooh, yes, the sugar content in this, it's going to be off the charts. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. okay, so books. I deviated a little bit recently and read nonfiction. I do love a good memoir. Like I read a lot of memoirs. When I get my hands on a good one, I'll get into like a memoir rut and just keep reading them. But I read Untamed by Glennon Doyle. And are you guys familiar with her and that story?
I know a person that's named that. I don't know who they are.
Okay, it's bonkers. So she originally wrote Carry On Warrior, was her first memoir. And it spun out of a sort of mom blog that she wrote just about like her struggles. And she was so like viscerally and brutally honest about her struggles, but also like funny and uplifting. And she just had this really unique voice and it spoke to a lot of people. So her blog posts would get shared and with like millions of people. And so that book was mostly an assembly of like her blog posts and some memoir thrown in. And I don't know, she just like lays it all out there in a way that I find really brave. Having written a memoir, I know the temptation to like clean it up.
Hold back.
And like, people are going to hate me for this, or like, this doesn't make me look good. And you're like, no, I have to write this anyway because it's not... I'm not Trump, you know, like I'm not trying to paint this rosy picture of myself. Yeah. Like you've got to be raw about it, but she's like next level raw. So she wrote that one and, you know, she had this like perfect little Christian family with her three kids and her husband and whatever. And then found out that after they'd been married for, I don't know, fill in the blank number of years, call it 15, he'd been having affairs, like a lot of them.
Damn.
And I think he told her this in therapy. And so instead of leaving him, she like did this big performative work to like make their marriage work. And so her second book was called Love Warrior. And it was all about her decision to stay with her husband, despite the fact he had been having these affairs and whatever, that she had like made her marriage work. I haven't read it, but I believe a lot of it revolves around like Christianity and her religion and that like she's not going to give up on her marriage. So while she's promoting this book and has built this monster brand around being a Christian mom blogger, she meets Abby Wambach,
the soccer star,
at a book event and just like falls head over heels in love with her. And so while she's promoting this huge book about how she stayed with her husband through these affairs and she, you know, she's a good Christian and whatever, she announces that she's in a relationship with Abby Wambach and has left her husband and, you know, is now into women and, you know, always has been and yada, yada, yada. And I remember it happening and just being like, holy fuck, the balls on this woman. You know, like, could you do it? Could you like betray that brand and your followers and like trust that everybody wasn't going to turn on you and be like, what the hell was all this other stuff you wrote? And so I didn't read her first two books, but I remember when that happened just being like, oh shit, she like, she did what?
Yeah.
So this third book is called Untamed and it's partly Abby and Glennon's love story, like how they fell in love and how that came about. Like, how did she go from love warrior to this? And like, you know, that Abby walks into a room and her first thought that made no sense was there she is. And they just are like madly in love with each other and have found this way to make a family together. Like her ex-husband and the two of them co-parent their three kids. And it just kind of amazed me. So I was like, I'm reading this book. So that's part of it, like her personal story. But the bigger part of it is how women are trained to like hold themselves back and to like meet other people's expectations and how that limits all of us. And it's so it's like part memoir, part love story, part like feminist pep talk from a woman who had just become so deeply entrenched in that thinking.
Wow.
And got old enough that she shed all of her fucks and was like, you know what? I'm done. And like, this is me being unapologetically me. And I just have so much respect for that. So
I think I might have read a profile last year during the World Cup about.
That checks out.
I can't remember, but I remember hearing the story about the woman who fell in love with her. And I was like, I need a romance novel about these two.
Yes.
I want it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and of course I went down a rabbit hole of like stalking both of their Instagrams and just getting so excited for their cute little videos about each other. And I don't, but then they're also both really honest about how it's not just like this magically perfect relationship and they have to work at it. But because they've both been married before, they're coming at it from this really honest place. And I don't know. I just, it was good. It's a pretty light, quick read. But I enjoyed it. It's one of those books where like you highlight a lot of stuff. Like there's just little phrases in there where you're like, yeah, I am a goddamn cheetah. Like, so I just babbled.
I've seen the cover around, but I had no idea what it was about. So now I'm like, takes notes.
Okay, now I have to look up the cover.
It was Adele posted it on Instagram, raving about it. And that's what got me to read it.
Adele, nice.
That's awesome.
Again, random, but.
Glennon Doyle is quite a name.
Yes,
it is. That cover is beautiful. Okay.
Someone that I followed on Instagram made a pie, like, inspired by this cover. And, like, the entire surface was, like, marbled in these colors. And I was like, I need to eat that right now and also probably read that book.
I love food based on books. Food based on anything, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah. Absolutely, yes.
Who's going
Jay,
next?
Jay, do you want to go?
Well, Danielle, you've been reading a nonfiction book as well, right?
I have. I've been reading, I got some books, like, you know, like when the protests start, there was like everyone was like, yes, let's buy books about like race in America. And so I bought this book, Blood in My Eye by George Jackson. And he was an activist he was like a prison activist and he was like in the California prison system for years. And it's sort of like a lot of like theory and activism. And it's also like his story, but it's hard. I'm reading it in chunks because it's just like really high level stuff. And it talks about like Black liberation and like what America needs to do to not be garbage and racist. And it's like, oh, a lot.
Yeah.
But
man, the prison system in particular
is
just brutal and heartbreaking and so
it's heartbreaking.
Fucked up. And like, I don't know.
It's like California in the 70s, which I feel like I don't know if it's worse. I don't have like, I mean, it's prisons are like privatized now. I think that's sort of like a new thing, but I think prisons always bad, still is bad, bad.
Didn't she say, Daniel was telling me about it earlier, and I think, didn't she say like he was in jail for like,
it was like a minor crime. And then
yeah, it was like something.
They framed him for stuff because like his words are really powerful, and I think they wanted to like keep him down and keep him in prison. Like that's common, you know, like, but it's a really cool book. It's hard to read, and I'm like reading it very slowly because it's really heavy. And like, I'm not like, it's really high level, like theory and activism. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to read this passage 6 times and maybe I'll understand a little bit of it.
But no, I like books like that push you.
Yeah. It's like, I want to highlight things, and then I also, it's at, like, you're like, okay, maybe this page, and then it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Everything is a highlight.
Yeah.
Jacqueline, what do you have?
So I have been reading some paranormal. I recently read, it was a follow-up to Wolf Gone Wild by Juliet Cross. The one I just read is Don't Hex and Drive. I believe this one comes out, oh goodness, I think on the 8th of September, so very soon. And it's interesting because it's like, it's contemporary paranormal, and it's set in New Orleans. But it also has this kind of small town vibe that just like feels kind of like perfect for like cozy fall reading. And the book starts where the heroine's like biking home from her, like, she's a witch. So she's biking home from her shop where she's like doing all her like herbs and stuff. And the hero hits her with his car, like a gentle hit. but like, he runs into her and she's like, what the hell are you doing? Are you not looking where you're going, Mr. Hot Rod in a Lamborghini? And he's like,
I love romances where they're like immediately yelling at each other.
Yes.
Like right off the bat.
And he's like super apologetic and like, I need to make it up to you. Like, I need to make sure you're okay. And she's like, get out of my face. I don't know who you are. I don't care if you want to take me, like draw me off. And he's like, if I call someone that you know and like name someone, and they say I'm like okay, and she's like okay fine, yeah, whatever. So what you find out very soon after that is this person, his name's Devraj Kumar, isn't actually a person. He is a vampire.
What?
He's like part of the like highest level vampire, where like it means he like hunts the bad vampires essentially. And he's also a Bollywood movie star.
Wow.
And he's moving in next door. And he immediately decides, like, Isadora, I want that girl. It's the whole, like, she's not falling at my feet. I must know who she is. And, like, the whole time, she kind of is like, I don't have time for you. I just want to tend my plants. You almost messed up this very sacred poppy from ancient Greece, and I just want to, like, rail you with your own car. But the whole time, he's also like, no, like, can I come take you out to dinner? And so it's really delightful the way he kind of like respectfully, but like kind of wears down some of her like walls. But something that I really loved is that like right before they're about to bang it out, he's like, first lay down. I think actually he goes down on her first, and then he's like, okay, now I'm going to give you a massage. And he's like, lay down in front of the fire, like there's a really nice blanket I've put down for you. And he like gets massage oils and just like goes at it, like a very nice thorough massage. And I'm like, I think we need more of that.
Wow.
But also she has one of several sisters that are all witches, and she seeds stories and romances in this book really well, where I immediately am like, okay, these two are getting a book and these two are getting a book. And I'm just like even more excited for the follow-ups.
I see people get bothered by that. What? They'll be like, oh, it's sequel bait. Or is that what they call it? And I'm like, no, I love that. I get so excited being like, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, me too. Especially because you know, like the
polarizing things, I guess.
I always feel like, ooh, this one is the one I'm looking forward to the most. Because if they like seed a couple, it'll be like, ooh, their book, interesting.
But then sometimes one they surprise you. Like one that you think you're not going to be that excited about
Like,
comes out of nowhere and is really good. Because then it's fun because it sort of subverts your expectations. And I love having my expectations subverted.
Yes. So yeah, that one was really fun. There's a first book before it that I did not read, which I know I'm very excited to go back to. But it read pretty easily as like a standalone. So
what's the author?
It's Juliet Cross.
Okay.
Was
she also did a, like a YA Dragon series I read forever ago. But
okay.
This one is a bop.
So the title, was he hexing while he was driving, or is that just like a clever pun?
It's just a clever pun. He was not hexing while he was driving.
Just curious, for just for like the pun's sake. I'm very interested in like,
yeah. I don't think vampires can hex.
But that was my question. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she can hex.
She can hex. Yes.
Got it. I also have been reading a paranormal. Would you call the Don't Hex and Drive paranormal, Jay?
Yeah, I mean, it might edge into, I'm really bad at knowing difference between like paranormal and urban fantasy. I think urban fantasy
I genuinely don't know the
romance.
Difference.
Oh, really?
This is where it would be really helpful to have Sarah.
Yeah.
Maybe we can, like,
I could make up some stuff that sounds convincing, but I don't actually know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think the thing that worked with the paranormal in this is that like the heroine is a witch and like she has like a witch shop that she runs with their sisters, and the hero is like a vampire. And there's also, by the way, I'm realizing there's a like a subline where there's like young human women who are being like kidnapped and like being found later, but like having blood drained from them. They're not dead, but like, and so part of the other part of this book is the hero and the heroine helping to find out who's doing this. And as someone who's been watching a lot of Criminal Minds recently, that was like a fun, like a really interesting narrative that also added some kind of like danger to it. But
quick question,
there
why
wasn't like a
were
lot
they
of,
draining okay. them and not killing them, or is that like ruin it? Will it ruin it?
No.
I'm just curious.
It was just like just using the blood because it was vampires who were kidnapping them.
They could have just asked.
They could have. This is true. Consent.
Or like gone to a blood bank.
This is true.
Anyways, that might have messed with the integrity of the plot.
But mostly like a lot of the like paranormal stuff was just kind of like table setting. So it wasn't like it had to do like lots of like world building or like this is where the magic comes from. Like, it was just kind of like, oh, yeah, well, she's a witch, and they live in New Orleans, and he's a vampire.
I feel like Cressley Cole has really kind of increased my interest in romances set in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Like, she makes it sound so magical. I'm like, we need more books set there, because Cressley says it's incredible.
So I didn't think I was going to like New Orleans. I thought it was going to be kind of like Vegas for me, where like the sort of party scene is not really my scene. But I loved New Orleans. I loved the I didn't do a whole ton of the party scene part of it, but just like walking around and I don't know, it has so much more character than somewhere like Vegas that counteract the other pieces of it. So I really loved it. I was it subverted my expectations.
Nice. There's a lot of architecture there that I really like the type of houses, like
food.
I think it's the French Quarter. Oh, the food. I can't forget the food. That's good too.
There was one time when I was visiting Danielle in New York, and we went to a panel that was moderated by Sarah McLean, but it was Renee Adiwe. Pretty sure I didn't say that last name right. I'm very sorry. But she spoke about, it was a promo for The Beautiful, but she was speaking about time that she spent in New Orleans writing this book and named a specific restaurant that she went to that was like, this is the best, you have to eat here. And it is still open as a tab on my phone internet browser because I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to be in New Orleans, but I will experience that food.
I hope it's still open. So many things have closed down right now.
Oh, darn.
Oh, Jenny, you know the whiskey bar that I was telling you about?
Yeah, yeah.
It closed.
No.
Yeah, I devastated. Just so bummed.
That really sucks.
I missed out on that grilled cheese and whiskey deal.
I know. But
you know what? I can make grilled cheese in my house and have a lot of whiskey. So
that's all you need.
When this shit is over, we can do whiskey and grilled cheese.
It's a perfect meal.
I have a thing about, so like a meal, yes, you need food in your stomach before we taste the whiskey. But between whiskeys, I like to eat a little bit of Swiss cheese.
Ooh.
And I think I'm the only person I know who does that with whiskey, but it's so neutral and but like satisfying, and it just kind of cleanses your palate.
Yeah, I think that would be whiskeys. A good way to cleanse your palate. Okay.
Cheese is always a good idea.
I will go and say my paranormal that I've been reading. I recently read, so the new Alona Andrews book came out last Tuesday. And
yeah. Emerald Blaze is the name.
Emerald Blaze, that's right. And I know what she does, or what they do. I should say what they do. They never get to like the relationship resolution until the second book. And so this is the second book. And so I waited. I didn't start the first one until this one was out. And then I read both of them in like a 48-hour period. I stayed up till like 3 a.m. reading. And it was very good. Absolutely incredible. And then right afterwards, I went straight back to the first trilogy, The Hidden Legacy with Nevada and Rogan.
Rogan.
And I'm still reading those right now.
I still haven't read those. What? I need to, because I'm sort of saving them in case of emergency.
Fair.
I know they're going to be really good. I have no question they're going to be good.
It's one of those books that I can like comfortably wreck to a lot of people. I feel like there's such, it seems like there's widespread appeal. Mm-hmm. They're so good.
Yeah. I don't think I've heard anybody not love them. Like
the only complaint people have is that the, like Danielle mentioned, they don't resolve the romance at the end of the first book. And so they are kind of a slow burn, but it worked for me as someone who doesn't like it when things don't get steamy. But
there's also,
it was great.
Like, there's a lot of like gun and explosions. Like, I don't
know. Competence porn. So much competence porn.
It is.
And the heroines are just as incredible as the heroes.
That's
which
true.
Which is my favorite.
But if you're like,
I don't mind. I think I kind of like the action stuff.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
It obviously like it works for me. I keep doing it. I've reread the first series too many times, but it's really fun.
Yeah. And I think if you asked me, I would be like, "No, I want the romance resolved in one book." But I don't really. Like if you can do it well and you can drag it out, it's so worth it. But like if it was just like asked my opinion, I would demand to be satisfied immediately. But it's so good when you get a really good one.
I think you're right, because then it kind of like doubles the time in which like it's the in between where they're like, oh, will they, won't they? It's like spreading around just over two
want it
books.
And you're so ready for it.
High angst.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually I enjoyed the newest series. Catalina is like, I don't know how much I should say. It's, there's the, her hero.
Don't
is
spoil
someone,
it. I haven't read it yet.
I won't spoil it. I promise. Her hero is someone that she's known for a long time. And she used to like have a huge crush on. And then now he's like back in her life. And she's like, it's fine. I don't like you like that anymore. But also she has like so much longing. That it was like the perfect amount of like, oh my God, I'm so in love with you, but she can't act on it. It was perfect. If you're like in the mood for like, she's also like unbearably horny for him. It like manifests as like physical ache. And it was so fun.
I have a fantasy, and this one I know is fantasy. It is not urban fantasy. I finished A Heart of Blood and Ashes by Nilla Vane. It is, I had referenced it in an earlier episode as being bonkers and can now confirm that it is delightfully bonkers. Bonkers just in the sense that it like does things that you haven't seen before or you would think are maybe like not allowed in a romance. I was texting these two about it because there's a mean kidnapping and we all love a good mean kidnapping.
Oh, yes.
We do.
He kidnaps the heroine and
why would you do a kidnapping?
Not nice to her initially.
Why would you do a kidnapping if it wasn't mean?
Yeah.
I just got this one in the library and I'm so excited.
My advice for anyone who's about to like jump into this series is I've seen so many people be like, there's so much world building, I couldn't get into it. And I like the second the heroine appears on page, it just like takes off and you're good to go. There is initially a fair bit of world building, but don't feel like you have to know who everybody is and whatever. Like the important people are going to be repeated enough that just like roll with it, even though you're out of your comfort zone. And once you get to the heroine, it all starts to come together. And it's such a good, like, it's sort of a road trip mean kidnapping between them. It's, yeah. At one point, it's not a spoiler because it happens in the first couple of chapters. So I think it's okay to say, but I've seen so many people talk about it on Twitter. Like she kills her own brother, who's a very bad man. And like, I'm going to turn people off of this book, but she like still has blood on her hands and they're kind of getting down to some business. And they're like both excited about the fact that she still has blood on her hands. They're just like,
by get down to business, Jenny means she gives the hero a hand job with her hands still bloody.
Yes. Which I'm immediately like, oh God. Aaron and Jess, I'm sorry. This is not the one thing you want highlighted out of the book. Yeah. If that makes you go, fuck yeah. Like she avenged herself and then, you know, got down to business. Then this is the book for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I started this book. And I like got like not very far in. I like took the sample off of Amazon and I was like, I don't know. It's a guy on a horse. He's talking kind of weird. Maybe not for me. But then I heard about the bloody hand job and I was like, okay, yeah, maybe I think I'm going to give this another go.
That's all it takes, right?
Yeah. And the mean kidnapping, that helped too.
Yes.
When the world building is like, it's a lot, but once it starts to make sense, you begin to appreciate just how like vivid and detailed it is and how well it weaves into the story. And I don't know, it's just like masterful world building, but you have to get over that first hump like you do with any like high fantasy or fantasy that, you know, is not urban fantasy. And there's this whole other world with deities and whatever that you have to kind of get your head around. So yeah, I really like it. I am here for the bloody hand job.
And did you just finish the first one in the series?
Yeah, so I'm on the second one now.
Because there's, she's still writing them, right?
Yeah. I think there's another one coming out relatively soon. Like they're pretty quick release. And then there's a novella that I believe is a prequel maybe to these two.
I think so.
So Kenny has insisted that the novella is really good and to read it. So,
oh yeah, he was saying that was his favorite, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what he said.
So. Yeah, I just got this at the library. I had it on hold for like forever. And so I am about to dive in.
I love the covers. They're so good.
Isn't it just like a torso, a hot torso?
It's like a barbarian fur clad
torso. He's in leather. His chest is dirty.
I think nobody's wearing pants. They've got like sort of kilts on.
Ideal,
like
really.
Yes, a leather kilt.
And nobody has like a full shirt.
Why would they?
Which often when I look at armor like that, I'm like, fuck off if you're like shirtless armor that like covers your shoulder. But in the text, it's the way that they arm themselves. Oh. Like, they're not going to wear heavy armor if they don't need heavy armor. So if they're fighting an enemy that they don't think is worthy of them, they don't bother covering their chest. So they don't even protect their heart.
It's like a
they
diss.
Leave themselves exposed to be like, fuck you, I don't even need armor. Look. And then, yeah, exactly. It's a total diss. And so that's, he's doing that when he first meets the heroine and she recognizes that he's done that on purpose to like, ooh, as an affront to her brother. So it even makes sense within the text that the cover, they don't have armor on their chest or their abdomen. Mm.
That could be like a really good, like meet cute, like, haha, I don't respect you and I'm half nude.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like he rides up and is kind of overthrows her, the carriage that's supposed to be transporting her somewhere. And so she gets like dragged out by her brother and she looks up at him. Did somebody get cut off?
Oh, no, I was just saying her brother dragged her out. That's not ideal.
Oh, yeah. No, not good. And so, like, I think he's sort of expecting her to, like, fight him and be scared and whatever. And I think you maybe get it from her perspective at some point. And she looks up and just recognizes that, like, this guy is a warrior. He can handle his shit. Like, I want that one kind of deal. And you're like, yeah, girl.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, yeah. I'm really excited about this.
I think it's Jacqueline's turn.
Yes. Another one that I have read pretty recently, and I think it goes pretty high on my like favorite reads from like the whole year, would be Boyfriend Material by Alexis Hall. And
this one has a really cute cover.
Yes, it does. And it's one that like I am hesitant to call things rom-coms because I think more often it's like an indicator of like the marketing a book has, of the like it's probably gonna be a trade paperback, it probably has an illustrated cover. And so I feel like it's more of like a marketing term than an actual like genre of book. But this makes me think that maybe rom-com books are real because it is genuinely so funny. Like I have so many highlights. I laughed sort of out loud, chuckled in my head perhaps, as I was reading it. The hero, you get your POV is from Luke, who is the son of like a washed up 70s rock star. And his dad has recently like gone through rehab and he's about to like be a host on what is essentially The Voice. And this is set in England, by the way. And so
in the UK,
now that in the UK, but, since his father is coming back into the spotlight, it means he too is kind of tangentially getting back into the spotlight. And after kind of being labeled a party boy, the nonprofit that he works for, which side note is about like raising awareness of protections for dung beetles and the like the letters of the name spells out crap with two P's. So that's fun. And they tell him he needs to like buff up his image or else they're going to have to let him go because they don't want it to reflect poorly on the company. And so he's like, okay, who can I like date that is boring and will make me look good? And he's like, oh, my friend's coworker, Oliver, because he's met Oliver before and thinks that Oliver's kind of a stuffed shirt, thinks he's better than everyone. So he and Oliver go on this date and it's terrible. It's a terrible date. And at the end, Luke's like, well, I only went on this date because I needed a fake boyfriend to make myself look better. And Oliver, who's like, he's a barrister, he's an ethical vegetarian, and he's just like pretty straight-laced dude. And Oliver's like, well, I suppose I might be willing to do this with you if you would also be my fake boyfriend for this personal thing. And so they begin this fake relationship, but they don't really understand each other and they don't really like each other.
Yes.
My yes.
favorite kind and, like, of fake relationship.
It's so good. And it's both like very like funny. And like when you get to the end, it's like very sentimental.
Aww.
And it was just really delightful to read. And like Luke is like so self-deprecating and like, haha, I'm an idiot. Like, what the hell am I doing with my life? Which was just really fun to read.
Yes.
I remember you were telling me that the hero is Oliver uses verisimilitude.
Yes, like he twice. Uses really long words, and at one point he's like, "Oh, I guess we should maybe get each other's phone numbers and like text for, you know, verisimilitude." And it became like a word that they would like jokingly reference when they're like teasing about dating. And also, there's like you can buy pencils now that say verisimilitude as a reference to this book. They're pretty cute.
Aww.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. It is, I've read other books by Alexis Hall that are like BDSM dynamics on the page, which was very here for. And this one is much like lighter. Like it's not quite Fade to Black, but it's like maybe a paragraph and then it fades out, which usually isn't my go-to, but it worked for me because the book was so funny and the characters were so compelling.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is big because no, I like things on the page.
Yeah, same thing, right? Like it's that thing where if you ask me, I say this, but then some books just get away with it and mm-hmm. I don't even notice or care.
Because they're so good. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, that one's going on my list. Jacqueline, it's you.
Oh, I know it's me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't keep things in order. That's my brain is bad.
That's my job. It's okay.
I'm
in charge.
I read like a week ago, I read Danny Brown finally.
Ooh. And oh, yay.
I know like everyone is.
Okay, wait, give the full title and the author because automatically know.
I think no, that's the first one. It's
Take a Hint, Danny Brown. Take a Hint.
Thank you. In my head, it's just Danny Brown. It's Take a Hint, Danny Brown by Talia Hibbert. Mm-hmm. And I like absolutely adore her books. I think I've read most of them. But the first one that I read was The Princess Trap from a couple years ago. And Cherry is like an iconic heroine. And then this one is actually pretty similar to The Princess Trap. Danny is like perfect, arguably, like in not like a bad way. She's just like awesome. She's a witch, sort of like a contemporary witch, and she's an academic and she never sleeps and she loves plants. And then Zaf is a ex-rugby player, security guard at the university, and he reads romance books. I'm sure like everyone knows the Zaf. He is like, I feel like a lot of people know that he's well known for reading romance books. And I liked it because they're both sort of like mean to each other, but in a way where they take care of each other off and on constantly throughout the book. I really liked Get a Life, Chloe Brown, which was the first one in this series about the older sister, but I like this one better. Danny worked more for me as a heroine. Hero. She's a hero.
She is.
As a character.
As a character, yeah.
I also liked, that's when awesome. I read this, the hero runs like I think it's a nonprofit.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
That's like a rugby, like a camp or something for young men and boys, where they also like explore emotional, mental well-being and like talk about how to like be like healthy people mentally. And it was just really lovely.
Yeah, I would say
we need more of that.
Probably one of my favorite reads of the year. I can't think of like a book that I enjoyed more.
Wow. Okay,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it when you get good ones. Like really good.
Yeah.
I feel like most of what
like
I
it's the kind
good,
of book where like you read it and you're like, I hope I can reread that soon.
Yeah, like when is this gonna be fuzzy enough in my brain that I can like, get that thrill out of it again?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, he's a very nurturing hero. Like he brings her a granola bar at work because he knows that she doesn't eat enough. She like forgets she's like too busy. And so he's like, you need to eat your food. But he's like, they're both like very sarcastic to each other. They're like sort of antagonistic, but they're like kind and nurturing, which I think, again, it's perfect pairing.
No,
I pulled this up on my Goodreads.
Chemistry just to, without them actually being mean.
Yeah. Oh, and it's a fake relationship. I should have said that. I'm missing the essentials. They're like, I guess we have to be together.
I pulled this up on my Goodreads, and I have 48 highlights from this book, because like Talia is just like, the first sentence of her book is, the moon was high and full, the night was ripe for witchy business, and Danica Brown had honey on her tit. The left one, specifically. And like, it's incredible.
That's a unique opening, for sure.
I also think that she's doing like rom-coms that are really funny. Like, laugh out loud funny.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got definitely like a really consistent brand. Mm-hmm. Reliable. Like, I would call her a reliable author. Like, I know what I'm going to get. And I know I'm going to like it.
They just did the cover reveal for the third sister's book.
It's I didn't see it.
I can never remember the titles. Frolic. Do you remember the title,
Eve
Jay?
Brown. God, I do not. I'm trying to pull it up.
It's like, get a clue, take a hint, and...
I think Act Your Age.
Act Your Age. That sounds right.
Yeah.
But it's a cool cover.
Yeah, it's Act Your Age, Eve Brown. It is really cute.
I thought it was Evie Brown.
Well, I just checked and it says Eve, but maybe they call her Evie.
I also, it's possible.
Oh my God, like, the first.
It's possible that I can't read. The hero.
That is possible. I just was looking at the blurb for Act Your Age, and the first descriptor of the hero just says, Jacob Wayne is in control always. And I'm like, yes. Put it in my veins.
So I read, in fact, I texted you guys. I got a couple of new historicals from Avon, and I'm like obsessed with the cover. Avon is nailing it with the covers these days.
Yeah, they are.
Like, we're getting, I think, a slight shift back towards an old school vibe, like not fully old school. Like, we get a sort of scenery background. There's not like fire and swords and lightning and wolves, which I would like to see more of. But I just really am digging the covers that they're doing right now. So I literally picked this book up because of the cover. It's got a sort of like 5 o'clock shadow, strong jaw, bearded hero looming over a heroine in a green dress. And she's like holding on to his necktie.
Oh yeah. Is that the Lorraine Heath?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's Beauty Tempts the Beast by Lorraine Heath. And I've read one or two, maybe even three others in this series. It's like the True Love family. True Love spelled like T-R-E-W-L-O-V-E. It's like a mom who took in children who weren't necessarily unwanted, but like couldn't be kept by their mothers, dropped them off with her, and she raised them as her own and raised them really well. And most of them end up like marrying into the nobility and whatever. So I believe, so this is the last of the True Love siblings to find his match. It's Beast, Benedict True Love.
That's a good name.
I know. Pretty much you put Beauty and the Beast in any capacity on the cover, and you're already like, it's yours to lose.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm hooked, and you've got to convince me not to read it. Like, I will read pretty much any Beauty and the Beast retelling. Mm-hmm. It's like Hades and Persephone.
It is.
Like, just give it to me. That's as much as you need to say. I'm sold. Just don't keep talking because you might, like, throw me off. And so he owns a brothel, which he just sort of happened. He was, like, protecting sex workers who had asked him and then he ended up protecting more of them, so it was easier for him if they were in the same place. So he was like renting rooms out for them, and then was like, fuck it, I'll just buy the building. And I think he has a shipping business, so he owns a brothel, but he's not all that excited about the brothel and is like trying to get the women into other professions. Obviously, there is a really fine line to walk when you're writing about sex workers. And I think I saw a couple of reviews questioning it. I am a former sex worker. I am not as sensitive about it as I think a lot of people are. Like, I don't have a problem with him trying to find better or different professions for them, because I don't think being a prostitute in this period in England was a particularly good or healthy job for somebody. So I don't really have a problem with him being a savior there. And then, I don't know, there were some just like parts and lines about like, he hires her to basically teach the women how to like comport themselves in a way where they could work in if not a house of the nobility, at least like, you know, pass as, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you guys
like
know what I'm trying to say.
Or like some, yeah, some more
yeah,
reputable
or like a
work.
Companion for someone or whatever. So just like how to, table manners and how to speak more clearly and whatever. So I don't know. It's like she is surprised to discover that she's friends with them and that they, you know, while they show up to their first lesson, like scantily clad, and she has to be like, can you make them wear clothes next time? because like, they're not going to learn this stuff if they can't be doing it fully dressed. You know, discovers that they are people and have their own interests and whatever. And that sounds really fucked up. Like, of course she should know that, but no, she wouldn't know that because the heroine comes from the nobility.
Yeah.
And her father was a traitor to the crown. So they lost everything. So now she's like working in a tavern and is trying to kind of find her way. So I didn't have a problem with her making those discoveries and being like, no, these, like, I relate to these people and they're wonderful. And it's stuff she never would have learned as part of the nobility. So,
well, and she would have been raised in like a, she would have been raised to be like, oh, like I was reading something in like the hero, the heroine's brother is like, you shouldn't even know the word bordello. And I'm like, that you're doing such a disservice to these people.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, that's, and not the, like showing up at the table scantily clad and whatever is so like, I don't know. I just picture like the dressing room at the dungeon I used to work in. Like, hell no, none of us were ever wearing clothes. Like, we just did not give a shit. And like, in fact, it was a problem where like you weren't allowed in the front half if like butt cheeks and nipples and that kind of stuff weren't covered. Oh, no. Like, it was part of the rules of the business. And so it would, like, people would get in trouble because they'd be like, go put something on. Like, you cannot wander around like that. You are wearing only fishnets. Please go and put something on. Like, we're going to get arrested. So that like resonated with me as being really authentic, where I was like, yeah, like, you would have to tell them to put some clothes on. So I don't know. It was cute. There were like moments where I had to kind of suspend disbelief because those things were like, if they would just be honest with each other or whatever. But well, and like at the end, he doesn't know who his parents are. And that gets resolved in an interesting way. And like, I always love when that happens and everybody is like happy and loving and it's just very sweet. So I enjoyed it. But it stands alone for sure, because I think I read the book right before this, but I haven't read all the books in this series. So yeah, Beauty Tempts the Beast by Lorraine Heath.
The hero looks very disreputable with his like length of hair and just like general dishevelment.
He does.
And I'm a big fan.
Yes. Yeah, and like that jawline and the kind of dusting of a beard.
Fantastic. Yeah, also, I think his shirt is unbuttoned and yet still tucked in.
Someone
which
find
I know Jen. Romance is a big fan of.
Is that a thing Jen has commented on?
She has a Pinterest board full of book covers and step backs where the hero is wearing a shirt that is fully unbuttoned and yet still tucked into his pants.
I feel like
interesting.
You see it more than you think you would. Like I know to look for it, I've seen it a couple times.
We're talking Jen Prokop?
I think so. From Jen Reads Romance on Twitter.
Yeah. Jen Reads Romance. I had no idea. I kind of avoid Pinterest because it becomes a black hole for me and I don't have the self-control to get myself back out of it.
Yeah, same.
But
same.
I usually only go there with like a purpose in mind. like
yes. Yeah, but then I get sucked down the black hole.
Yeah.
A couch.
God, I keep hearing airplanes. Fun fact, I moved next to like a naval air base and they fly large planes a lot and it's very noisy.
Is it like easier to get to the airport? Oh, it's a naval base.
It's not a civilian airport. Yeah, no. It's like Top Gun is what I was told.
Oh, wow.
It's like that kind of... And so it's kind of cool because we constantly see them flying in formation. But also they're sort of noisy. I mean, it's not usually happening during the night or anything, but the first time it happened, we were like, what the fuck is that?
Like, oh, no.
It sounded really intense, but now that we know what it is, I mean, my kids are into it because they see cool planes all the time. So
cute.
Jacqueline, do you have another one?
Yes, I have several. I have backups Jacqueline,
like,
for my backups.
She prepared. She's like...
Okay, well, pick. You may not get to all of them. So if there's one you really want to talk about, talk about that one next.
Okay. Oof. Ooh, there's so many good books I just want to talk about. Okay,
I know it's the worst.
With another Talia Hibbert book, but this is a novella. It's, I think, the first Talia Hibbert book I ever read. It's called Mating the Huntress.
I love
and
this
it is
one.
Arguably so the perfect book to be read right now. It is, I know some people are like, summer needs to like last longer, but also for me right now, I'm very enjoying like fall vibes. This book is set the week before Halloween and Halloween. Premise is Chastity is the heroine. Her family are werewolf hunters. Like through their like line, I think matrilineal.
Isn't it matrilineal? Yeah, matrilineal.
Yeah. They're all werewolf hunters. And it's like, we're going to like protect people. But Chastity it was like foretold that the first were that she, her first kill will take her heart. And so her family won't let her go hunting. But one time when her family goes hunting, her sister wears Chastity's sweatshirt. And a were scents her in the sweatshirt. And he's like, whoever's sweatshirt this is my mate. And so this werewolf, his name is Luke, shows up at her family's coffee shop where she's working. And she's like, oh my God, maybe this is my opportunity to finally prove myself to my family and show them that I can be a werewolf hunter. So she's stalking him to kill him. Whereas he is stalking her because she is his mate and he's trying to seduce her.
Oh, so, I love it when you just immediately have the stakes that high and the conflict that well established.
Their like courtship is one of my all-time favorite courtships. She's like trying to murder him and he just wants to kiss her. He's like, please, just let me kiss you. You can stab me, but it's perfect. It's perfect.
Yes. It's so good. And it's like, it's a novella. It's 30,000 words. So it's not super long. It's just like a nice quick shot of like delightful, stabby goodness.
I like it.
It's like...
Jacqueline, do you have another one?
Yes. Yes, I do. the other one... It's Katie Roberts' book that's coming out. Oh, you meant Danielle.
Cool. I think she means
I meant Danielle. I totally just did that. I was looking at guest 81 and just, I don't know, somehow called you the wrong name.
Really,
I think that's the first
working.
Time I've done that to both of you.
It's working as a code name because really it is obfuscating who I am.
If you would like to share a Katie Roberts book though, please by all means do. I am not gonna stop you.
Since I am hopping in on Danielle's, I will be brief. But Katie's second penultimate Wicked Villains book, The Sea Witch, I believe it comes out this next month. I can't remember the exact release date. It is a menage. It is Ursula. It's an Ursula figure. Her name's Ursa. Alaric and Zuriel. There is a virginity auction. There are tentacle dildos. There is pegging.
Yes, there are.
It's very hot. there's, it's also like, I was surprised by how much revenge and like, it's very like revengey, and there's like lots of complicated emotions that they all have towards each other. They have to kind of work out, which I found to be really fascinating. I loved that. I mean, it's Katie Roberts. It's Wicked Villains. You know, it's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
When Jacqueline was prepping her book, she's like, do you think it's bad if I have like two Minaj books? I was like, no, Jacqueline, you're fine. But it looks like
I know my other one, such okay? thing.
Oh, I can do a Minaj next. Ooh. Just to add another there Minaj in there.
I don't think I have any Minaj books.
What do you...
I was like,
probably wrap up relatively soon. So if you had to maybe do one more, what would it be?
I think I would do the...
I have a bet.
I know you have a bet. What's your bet? Let's hear it.
She's going to go with Sherry Thomas.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Sherry Thomas. I adore Sherry Thomas. If I could have like a meal with like any people on earth, dead or alive, she'd probably make it to the meal. She'd make it to the table. And her most, like the series that she's currently working on is the Lady Sherlock series. And it's like Sherlock Holmes if she was a lady. And the fourth book came out last fall. And the fifth book is coming out this October. And they're like, what you expect from a Sherry Thomas romance, just like precision, perfection, beauty. But it's like a mystery. Each book is a mystery. And there's like a romance sort of threaded throughout the series. And word on the street from Sherry is that there's going to be a lot more romance in this coming book in October. But so in preparation for the new book, I had been like going back and reading the old ones. And I was reminded just like how incredible they are. I can't recommend them enough. It's not a good read if you just want to like relax, because you can't be stupid or you'll miss the whole book. So you have to be like, okay, this is put together in like these codes and oh, it was the maid, what? But it's a perfect book, and Charlotte is kind of an exceptional Sherlock Holmes. Her name is Charlotte Holmes. She's like, the original Sherlock is supposed to be like emotionless, and she doesn't do it that way. She does it in like a really interesting way. She's like a full person who just like sees things a little bit differently, and I really like it. I think it's like my favorite take on Sherlock Holmes that I've read so far.
So I think we will wrap up books there. There's always more that you want to talk about, but that was too easy with you guys. I kind of knew it would be, but it's sort of our Saturday Coven Zoom calls as an episode, right?
Yeah, totally.
So we have a couple of things we wanted to make sure we shared. The first is that we are still doing a regular newsletter, or as regular as it is without me fucking it up. So
it comes out mostly once a month. It does. Yeah. Yeah.
If you guys are not signed up for that, you should think about it, because there's always fun tidbits and book recs and Jacqueline's heroin perfume pairings.
It's actually Danielle.
You should do cologne at some
point.
Why the fuck do I keep messing your names up? Like, you know who I'm talking about. And I don't ever do this. It's not like I ever text the wrong one or use the wrong name when we're on Zoom. But for some reason,
I
right this second.
The guest 81 was really, yeah, it threw you off.
I don't know. It's a thing all of a sudden. And now it's in my head, so it's probably going to be worse. But Danielle does heroin / perfume pairings, and I really love it.
I actually thought about doing a cologne.
Yeah.
Wait, were you going to do one for Reese?
I actually was going to do one for, inside the head. When you do a POV character, they don't usually talk about their own smell. So, it's in the point of view of Farrah. So, she doesn't talk about how she smells, but she talks about how how he smells. So, I was like, maybe I should do one for him. And then in the Accord of Wings and Fury, they talk about how they have, like, sort of the same smell. They sort of, like, their smell melds in a way. So I was like, I don't know, but I thought about doing one for him, and I do have one that should work, but we'll see. More to come, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I want that one. I demand it.
It could be good.
So yeah, you should sign up for the newsletter, and that is on our website. Even if I don't keep the show notes up to date, you can find the sign up, I think, on our contact page, or you can ask one of us and we'll point you to where to do it. Maybe we should post it in the coven just since we haven't shared it in a while.
Oh yeah, good call.
And then speaking of the coven, we're doing a coven. I don't even know how this came about. I saw like the release promo stuff for Naughty Brits, which is an anthology with five authors we love. Sarah McLean has written a contemporary novella.
Shocker.
It's got Sierra Simone, and it's what, Sophie Jordan, Tessa Grattan, Louisa Edwards are the others.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
And so I was excited about it, and something about the promo material, I was like, we should do a fancy dress-up party for this.
Oh, yeah, because Sierra Simone on her Instagram, she has like an invitation, like you're invited to.
Yeah. I saw that and I was like, we're not invited anywhere because of COVID. But you know what? Fuck it. We're going to come up with an excuse. So I posted in the coven, like, are we going to do the thing? And of course, Jacqueline, and I do mean Jacqueline this time, being Jacqueline, is like, I'm a planner. I'm excited. I can help with this together. So these two are helping us to do, what would we call it?
Like I want to call it hashtag the British are coming. I feel like that. but it's just going to be like a little like launch party. It'll be on Saturday the 19th. So it'll be the Saturday following the release so that we can stay up a little bit later, hang out maybe a little bit more than a weekday. And there will be some more details to follow as we're still kind of ironing out the
kinks.
Timeline, the kinks, as it were. But be on the lookout. We will be posting some more information.
I think all of the authors are going to hop on at some point, and we'll probably post when who's going to be doing it. We're just working through schedules and stuff. And these two have some like games and stuff they're coming up with. I don't know. It's going to be shenanigans, and it should be fun. And if you would like, you can dress up. If you do not like,
dressing up is encouraged.
You do not have to. Yeah.
I want to play a game where we like name places in the UK and try and get the authors to guess, like, is this a real place or did we make this up? Just to make them sweat a little bit.
Yeah, I like it. I like some of the other ones you came up with too. So
yeah, it should be fun. Yeah,
it should be fun. Be on the lookout for that. I think most of what we share about it will probably be in the coven. So if you are not in our Facebook group, if you're not on Facebook, but you would still like to participate, feel free to reach out to us on another medium and we'll make sure you know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then if people want to follow you guys online, I love your Instagram. You do such good covers and step backs and reviews. Where can they find you?
That Instagram is going to be on the same page. On the same page, but the G is a 9 because, you know, how handles work.
Because we can.
Because we can. Danielle is my photographer cool more like often than not. But I just talk about books and how they're great. I also occasionally tweet. Mostly I just retweet Courtney Milan on Twitter because she's a genius. And my Twitter is at jswell.
So wait, is on the same page always you? For some reason, I thought it was both of you.
It sort of is both of us. Jacqueline has sort of, I do most of the photos.
Okay.
And Jacqueline does a lot of the reviewing.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's also lots of Caroline.
Caroline is pretty heavily featured.
Caroline is the cat.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am honestly surprised. She's sitting next to me, not a sound. Aww. No meowing. I'm shocked.
Wow.
We had some meowing right before we started recording that had to
loud
be
meowing too.
She like would not stop.
We had to like make her go outside, which she did. Like,
I have shit to say.
I am also on Twitter, which is where I spend most of my time rotting my brain.
Doom scrolling.
Just doom scrolling. Mm-hmm. And my, oh, Caroline, stop. My username is DEE_swell.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now is the awkward moment where I'm supposed to have something witty to say to wrap this whole thing up, and I never do, so we just say goodbye 14 times, and then it awkwardly stops. So
I'm surprised Caroline hasn't said anything. No. She should. That would help.
Well, thank you guys for doing this with us.
Thanks for having
thanks for
us.
Having us.
Oof. We're like in the same apartment in different rooms. So that was fun.
Yeah, I know.
Some alone time.
Yeah.